Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, November 6th, One Take Wednesday. We are reading about the Spirit of God throughout the Bible, and today we're reading from 1 Corinthians 14, Gifts of the Tongue and Prophecy in the Living Bible. I'm actually going to read verses 1 through 9 of chapter 14, and then we're going to skip over to verse 26 and read through the end of the chapter. Let love be your greatest aim. Nevertheless, ask also for the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives, and especially the gift of prophecy, being able to preach the messages of God. But if your gift is that of being able to speak in tongues, that is, to speak in languages you haven't learned, you will be talking to God, but not to others, since they won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be a secret. But one who prophesies, preaching the messages of God, is helping others grow in the Lord, encouraging and comforting them. So a person speaking in tongues helps himself grow spiritually, but one who prophesies, preaches messages from God, helps the entire church grow in holiness and happiness. I wish you all had the gift of speaking in tongues, but even more, I wish you were all able to prophesy, preaching God's messages, for that is a greater and more useful power than to speak in unknown languages, until, of course, you can tell everyone afterwards what you were saying, so that they can get some good out of it too. Dear friends, even if I myself should come to you talking in some language you don't understand, how would that help you? But if I speak plainly what God has revealed to me and tell you the things I know and what is going to happen and the great truths of God's word, that is what you need, that is what will help you. Even musical instruments, the flute, for instance, or the harp, are examples of the need for speaking in plain, simple English rather than in unknown languages. For no one will recognize the tune of the flute is playing unless each note is sounded clearly. And if the army bugler doesn't play the right notes, how will the soldiers know that they are being called into battle? In the same way, if you talk to a person in some language he doesn't understand, how will he know what you mean? You might as well be talking to an empty room. And now from verse 26. Well, my brothers, let's add up what I'm saying. When you meet together, some will sing, another will teach and tell some special information God has given him, or speak in an unknown language, or tell what someone else is saying who is speaking in the unknown language. But everything that is done must be useful to all and build them up to the Lord. No more than two or three should speak in an unknown language, and they must speak one at a time, and someone must be ready to interpret what they are saying. But if no one is present who can interpret, they must not speak out loud. They must talk silently to themselves and to God in the unknown language, but not publicly. Two or three may prophesy, one at a time, if they have the gift, while all the others listen. But if, while someone is prophesying, someone else receives a message or idea from the Lord, the one who is speaking should stop. In this way, all who have the gift of prophecy can speak, one after the other, and everyone will learn to be encouraged and helped. Remember that a person who has a message from God has the power to stop himself or wait his turn. God is not one who likes things to be disorderly and upset. He likes harmony, and he finds it all in all the other churches. Women should be silent during the church meetings. They are not to take part in the discussion, for they are subordinate to men, as the scriptures also declare. If they have any questions to ask, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is improper for women to express their opinions in church meetings. You disagree? And do you think that the knowledge of God's will begins and ends with you, Corinthians? Well, you are mistaken. You who claim to have the gift of prophecy or any other special ability from the Holy Spirit should be the first to realize that what I am saying is a commandment from the Lord Himself. But if anyone still disagrees, well, we will leave him in his ignorance. So, my fellow brothers, long to be prophets so that you can preach God's message plainly. And never say it is wrong to speak in tongues. However, be sure that everything is done properly in a good and orderly way. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word. I just want to pray here that the Lord would help me as I discuss this passage with you, especially on One Take Wednesday. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is speaking about the gifts of the body and how they should function in the context of the assembly of the Corinthian church. So he talks about the gift of tongues and how that would relate to the body of Christ, and then prophecy. And ultimately, the little first verse is of utmost importance. He says in verse 1, let love be your greatest of aims. And so the love that the church members show for one another is not a substitute for gifts. Have you ever met someone who is a really gifted person, but they're just not very nice? I think that's what Paul's getting at. Our gifts should not be a cause for pride. Rather, they should be a cause for humility. And then I was so tempted to just skip over the part about women being silent in the church because that is such a difficult passage. But I think it's important for us to just touch on it just for a minute. So let me grab my resource. The book that I'm going to read from is called Paul, Women, and Wives, and it's by Craig Keener. And this is his conclusion about the passage. But if you want to read more, I'll send you some screenshots of his chapter on this passage. Paul's point is that those who do not know the Bible very well should not set the pace for learning in the Christian congregation. So here Paul is saying to the women, you need to be silent because they were being disruptive in worship. He says they should instead receive private attention to catch them up to the basics of Christian instruction, to what the rest of the congregation already knows. In Corinth, the issue had come to a head with uneducated women interrupting the scripture exposition with questions. Have you ever been teaching either in the church or in some other context and someone just continually interrupts the situation with questions that are kind of off the wall or statements that try to derail the conversation? I believe that that is what is happening in the Corinthian church. The women feel this newfound freedom in Christ and they want to know more, but they're being disruptive in the church. Okay, he says, Paul suggests a short-range and a long-range solution to the problems and how to bring order back to the church. The short-range solution was that the women were to stop interrupting the service, and the long-range solution is that they were to learn the knowledge they had been lacking. And Paul is telling the women, who most of them at this time were married, to go home and discuss with their husbands what was going on in the church service. So one more point that I want to make there is we know that Paul is not calling all women in all places to silence, even in the Corinthian church. If you look back at chapter 11, verses 4 and 5, that reminds us that Paul wants all people
when they are praying or prophesying in the church, to do so in an orderly way. So it includes women there who are prophesying in church. So we have to do a little bit of contextual work here. And so if you want to talk more about that, I'd be happy to do that and to send you this resource as well. But we need to move on, and we're going to move on into praying that the Lord would help us to be a people who prophesy, who share the message of Christ with our generation. But we also want to pray alongside family units in our church. So I'm halfway through the B, so we're going to pray continually for those today who have the last name that starts with a B. Will you pray with me? Lord, help us to be a people who prophesy. Help us to speak truth to our generation, helping them to see that Christ is Lord of all. We thank you, Lord, for all the different range of gifts. And we pray, Lord, that you would instruct us by your Spirit, and that you would help us to worship in an orderly way. And now we lift these names of the family units to you, and we ask your blessings over them, that you would bless and keep them, that you would make your face to shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them. And in that regard, we pray for these families. Broom. Brown. Brune. Bruner. Brian. Buechler. Boost. Birch. Burdett. Burks. Burnett. Burns. Burrows. Busby. And Butler. And we thank you, Lord, for their lives and their ministries and their work and their friendship. And we pray for our community of faith, that you would strengthen it by your righteous right hand. We love you, Lord, and we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.